is very lethal, and she's not afraid to get her hands dirty.
So Olivia Munn, who is well known for her role in X-Men and so many other films, a very well-known actress and actually a very funny actress as well, she had something not so funny to share with the public recently after she was diagnosed with breast cancer and had to have a double mastectomy done. She wants people to make sure that they are best protecting themselves and says you should get your risk assessment done. You should have a breast cancer risk score. But what exactly is that? Who should be having this assessment done? What does this actually prove to people? And we're going to get all the details about that, actually, from one of our Hartford healthcare experts on the show. Genetic counselor Susan Capasso is back with St. Vincent's Medical Center. And thank you for being here, Susan. Such a huge topic to dive into this morning.
Okay, a breast cancer risk assessment score is calculated by a breast cancer risk assessment tool, which utilizes a mathematical model that incorporates various risk factors that have been shown to be associated with breast cancer. Now, two of the most common models used are the Gale model and the Tyrer-Cruzick model, and these tools help healthcare professionals estimate a woman's risk of developing breast cancer within 5 or 10 years, along with a lifetime risk of developing the disease. Both of these tests are online, and they take as little as 5 minutes to complete. Some of the information that they use is a woman's age, her menstrual history, the age at the time of the birth of her first child, family history of breast cancer, whether or not she's had a breast biopsy, and whether or not it has been positive or negative. Now, the Tyrer-Cruzick model also includes questions on breast density and the use of hormone therapy in menopause. Each tool is slightly different, and the scores can vary. The Gale model tends to underestimate the risk of breast cancer, and the Tyrer-Cruzick tends to overestimate it. Sometimes you see that physicians calculate, and other healthcare professionals will calculate the risk from both tools to ensure a more well-rounded sense of risk. Now, if you get a score of 20% or higher, it puts you at a high-risk category for breast cancer. When this occurs, your physician will then have you have a MRI and a mammogram every year, starting about the age of 30, if you are able to do your risk score prior to 30. And then you will need to be followed up by healthcare professionals, and you will be considered high risk. Olivia Munn had a 37% score due to the fact that of the additional factors, such as she had a child after she was 30 and her family history. So what this did was it prompted further screenings, even though she had a normal mammogram, and she had also been tested for 90 genes, including the BRCA1 and BRCA2, due to her family history. Her sister had also had this done. So this extra screening was the MRI, ultrasound, and ultimately the biopsy, which led to her early diagnosis and treatment.
Wow. So, Susan, that's a lot of information. I want to just go back very quickly to the very beginning where you said this is basically a 5-minute online assessment. So is this something you do at home or do you do this in the doctor's office?
Well, the doctors can do it for you. As a genetic counselor, I do it. Anyone who comes in for genetic testing who does not have breast cancer, it's important that you don't already have breast cancer or that you have not been identified with a specific pathogenic variant such as BRCA1 or BRCA2. It's not going to be a good thing to do if someone's already had breast cancer. That's something that everybody needs to remember. But if you haven't been diagnosed with breast cancer, getting a risk score is important. And in some places in the United States right now, some medical facilities, they're calculating the patient's breast cancer risk during routine visits, and the information is put into a patient's electronic medical records.
Oh, wow.
And so this has already started. In the case of Olivia Munn, her doctor starts doing a risk score for her patients by the time they are 30 years old. Olivia Munn was like 42, 43 when she was first tested. And then if there is a family history, this physician was going back to starting it at 25 years. And there is a push right now for physicians from several organizations to recommend that all women have their breast cancer risk assessment at age 25, then to discuss again with a provider every 1 or 2 years. Wow. When I do genetic testing for individuals who coming in who are at risk with family history, when I'm test them, there automatically is done a risk score. They utilize the Tyer-Cruzick score. And when I get the results back, I also get the Tyer-Cruzick, which I record because this is important for the referring physician to see as he follows or she follows the patient.
And I know you had mentioned, we have Susan Capasso here, that there are two different tests. One that is typically lower, the risk comes out a little bit lower, the percentage, I should say. The other that comes out higher. If you have a patient who comes in and let's say the first one has you below 20%, but the other one has you above 20%, are you basically going to go with the let's be safe rather than not and go with the second test? Or how do you handle that?
It's going to be dependent upon if the Tyer-Cruzick is, say, 20 and the Gale is 18 or something like that, then, you know, 20 is just right on the borderline.
Right.
And at that point in time, we would follow the patient till the next time that you saw them or just make a note of what the – always making a note of what the patient has. Now, what I pointed out was that there are two tests that are the more common ones. There are other risk factor tests, too, that can be done. But the Tyer-Cruzick with genetic counselors and the Gale are the two that are used the most, especially the Tyer-Cruzick, and that is utilized by the laboratories in testing also.
According to the American Cancer Society, breast cancer is still the most common cancer in women in the United States, except for skin cancers. It accounts for about 30% of all new female cancers each year. And recently, very well-known actress Olivia Munn made a public statement encouraging all women to get a breast cancer risk score done. We learned what that assessment is and when should we be getting it as young as 25 and where we can get it done. But we're talking this morning to Hartford Healthcare genetic counselor Susan Capasso, who's at St. Vincent's Medical Center, to get another understanding of why maybe a lot of people haven't heard of this. Susan, how long have breast cancer risk assessments been around?
Many, many years.
Really?
Yes, yes. Many,
why
many
don't people
years.
Know about it? I have to be honest, I'm 33. I've never heard of this before. I feel horrible. I feel like a very uneducated reporter right now. I had no idea.
I'd say, you know, at least 25 years.
Wow.
At least,
you know. Wow, wow, wow. So do you feel like that it's just not advertised enough? Do you feel like it's something that, I mean, where do you think the breakdown is?
Well, first of all, the breast cancer risk assessment tool is a tool. It can't predict whether or not you're going to get breast cancer. It doesn't calculate an individual woman's breast cancer risk. It's a tool that gives the average risk of breast cancer for a group of women with similar risk factors. And it's not clear what this risk means for any one woman. So having a high risk doesn't mean a person is going to be diagnosed with breast cancer. And sometimes with individuals, this can be alarming, and you don't want to scare people. Just as having a low risk doesn't mean a person will never develop the disease. Now, what we do is we look at this as one tool, and we will then look to do more testing with an individual if they have a higher score. And then it's also important, as I mentioned, it cannot accurately estimate breast cancer risk for women who previously been diagnosed or women who are carrying a breast cancer-producing mutation or pathogenic variant like BRCA1 or BRCA2. So when you tell a person what they have, you have to be very careful when you're doing a risk score to explain all this to them and explain that this does not mean you're going to get cancer. And a lot of people don't take it well when they're just told, oh, you're at increased risk, when you're not given a number. And you don't want to scare patients. Mm-hmm. But it has been done for, you know, a long time.
Okay. So, I mean, I don't have a family history of breast cancer, but I've already had and completed having children. Would you suggest I still get one done?
Should you still? Yes. You can get it done. You can ask your doctor to do it for you. Okay. When you go in for your, it's going to be more acceptable for physicians as part of their examination to include this.
Oh, okay.
And then to update it every year. What's coming out now is just the awareness of this test and to incorporate it more into just a, into the general examination.
I was going to say, so
not
maybe that's
part
of it.
Been at risk.
Right. So maybe that's kind of what I'm getting at is I've not been asked about this assessment ever.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe that's why some of us haven't heard about it before. But do you feel like more and more doctors are going to start adding this assessment?
Right. You know, the other thing is when you go for your examination and you're asked specific questions, a lot of those questions go into the assessment tool and they're looking at, your physician's looking at this, like how old were you when you had your first child? Have you ever had any biopsies? They'll ask you your family history.
Mm.
But when all these factors come in, these are all fed in to the specific tool. So
okay.
You might have had it done and not really known. They might have just been looking at all these things for you and then just fed it in and saw that you weren't at high risk.
Okay. That's a good point. Okay. All right.
Right. And then, you know, so how many biopsies and how many family members? And, you know, these are all standard questions that physicians ask you for examinations.
Mm. But they don't want to scare you and be like, we're checking to make sure
right.
you're
okay.
Right,
and that's the thing. When you're told somebody, you know, you're at increased risk, and it's not a good idea to say you're right at 20% on the tirocrucic and say, okay, you're at increased risk. Because you got to remember that the tirocrucic slightly overestimates it, and you're right on the border there. You got to look at other factors.
Okay. That makes a lot of
and
sense.
It doesn't take much sometimes to scare people.
Oh, absolutely. No, absolutely. That's the thing. And you're right. You're absolutely right. I mean, doctors are in a very tough spot where you don't want to freak your patients out, certainly, but you do want to make sure that you're checking on these things. I mean, is it worth, though, Susan, that people ask those questions like, hey, I learned about this breast cancer risk assessment?
Yes.
Okay. All right.
But not to get, you know, get really scared about it or anything because, you know, The physicians in the area, around St. Vincent's in the area, if they're looking at patients that are at high risk because they've asked the questions, they will refer them to me, and I will then do genetic testing, run the risk score through the tirocrucic, and talk to them about the whole thing. And I'm getting a lot of patients who in the area who have family histories, and sometimes their family history is not enough to warrant. To meet the guidelines of the National Cancer Network, and I can't do the test because of insurance, but I can talk to them and I can look at it and I can run a risk score.
Got it.
So, you know,
interesting.
Physicians are very aware of this. They're working with their patients. They're doing the proper referrals. And then if I identify that an individual has a, you know, a risk score that's in a high risk, tell the physician, we work together. We didn't add the extra tests. We put the individuals into like a high-risk clinic, and we follow them more closely. They've never had cancer, but we can look for it before anything happens. Livia Munn, that's what she did, but she was further along versus
right.
somebody
who
they'd had it at 25 or 30.
That makes sense. Well, Susan, I think this is such great information, and of course, if people want more, you can always go online to hartfordhealthcare.org/cancer, and I want to thank you for the work that you do as a genetic counselor and for sharing this information here on WICC.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Susan Capasso again with St. Vincent's Medical Center, a Hartford Healthcare genetic counselor, right here on Melissa in the Morning.